The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Coming to you from OSG Central Headquarters, wherever that is.
Okay, who else are you going to blame but yourself? I'm the head coach. It's my responsibility.
It's time for Count Pointer Count.
And the real battle for anybody during adversity is to pay attention to the things that you can control. Focus on the things that you want to do. And the hell with the rest of it.
Do it.
Now, the host of Count Pointer Count, John Nelson.
I've got too much on my mind. I think of everything to be discovered. I hope there's something to find. Searching through the time that has gone so fast. The time that I've gone through last. My ever-present past.
Hey, Block, this week. And no, it's not the continuing saga of the Summer of Seven.
That's over.
But it might be the continuing saga of the Summer of Stanazolol.
What?
Steroids.
Excuse me?
Steroids.
Okay. Don't be using those foreign words with me.
and then he's talking about steroids in the as a Canadian.
Exactly.
Steroids.
Yeah, wrong emphasis there, dude.
Oh, it's steroids.
Down here in the southern part of the United States, yeah. When we refer to steroids.
Steroids.
Yeah.
Them big horse pills.
Yeah.
Yeah, the back half of the word emphasis is a Canadian thing, not here.
Oh, not aware of that. Do we want to go ahead and bring Cardinal Boy into the discussion about Rick Ankiel?
Sure, bring why him not?
In. Yeah, let's see. We go from this earlier in the week, courtesy of MLB.com.
They turned it. And Rick hits it high in the air out to deep right field, has a chance, and this ball is out of here. He does it again, a three-run homer for Ankiel. Ankiel hits it in the air out to right center field. At the track, at the wall, and this one is gone. He's done it again. 1-0 pitch. Ankiel hits it out to right. Drills it over the head of the right fielder. Two runs are going to score. He's got seven RBIs on the afternoon.
To this, later in the week, courtesy of our friends at the worldwide leader in ESPN.
These things are things that you took, but you took them up with a doctor's prescription and
correct.
And under his care.
Correct. All in any medication that I've received as in my career has always been under a doctor's care, licensed physician.
Is this... surprised your name was on this list?
Absolutely I was surprised. But, you know, that's the world we live in, and obviously we're here today to address it.
So, the feel-good story ain't so feel-good no more.
No, no. And, I mean, I don't know if anybody read the New York Daily News today, but read that, and there's some questionable practices by the doctor that he...
Once again, and what a surprise.
Something like $1.2 million in... malpractice claims that was paid out a few years back.
What a surprise.
But, I would offer up this question. I mean, yeah, what he did was wrong, but he did it in 2004 when
it wasn't wrong.
And it wasn't wrong then. How do you punish somebody for that?
Unless it's post facto. You can't do it.
Unless he's continued.
The NCAA did it.
Well, the NCAA plays by its own laws.
And Major League Baseball doesn't.
No.
Not as blatantly as the NCAA.
No, somehow I suspect the Bud will find a way to punish him and let the blatant misusers who continue to do it probably go scot-free because that's the way they operate in baseball.
Yeah, and Rick Ankiel has just as many homers as J.D. Drew.
Shocking. That was a nice little trade-off there for the Cardinals.
Or D.L. Drew.
Or any other Drew that you can't care to think of, including Nancy.
So then is...
He's not Scott Boras's glamour child anymore.
No. So then is...
Yeah, it's a good year to be a Scott Boras client.
Yeah, Andrew Kingman. Really,
is he a Boras client?
Oh, yeah.
J.D. Drew, yes.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't sign with the Phillies when they drafted him.
It's a good year to be a Scott Boras client then, huh?
Yeah, no
J.D.
kidding.
J.D. Drew, you got Andrew Dave Kingman Jones.
That's here in true. Atlanta. That is true.
And watch the money go drifting out the door.
I was going to say, his stock really went down.
So then is Troy Gloss in more trouble than Rick Ankiel?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is probably. A good question. It sure sounds that way, at least on the surface.
Considering that Gloss is linked to steroids, stanazolol, and there's one more that I can't think of off the top of my head that's more than one syllable. So you think that they're both going to get called to the principal's office?
I would think Gloss would be more so than Ankiel.
Yeah, I suspect they both will, but I think it's going to be harder on Gloss. And that was the 1 year he had a good year.
No, the last year he had a good year.
Yeah, well, the last time he had a good year. He hasn't done anything since.
That's because he's been injured. Shocking how that happens.
And it's getting deeper as we go here. Rodney Harrison of the Patriots was suspended for 4 games last week for coming up in that same investigation.
And 10 wrestlers from the World Wrestling Entertainment.
And supposedly there's more NFL players to come.
Oh, and a coach. Wade Wilson.
Yeah, I still don't get that. You don't play.
Whatever. Well, no.
What, well, you know what it was.
You know what it was.
Yeah, I know what.
But I guess it's good to know that that works for diabetics, for curing ED.
I wouldn't know.
I was posing it as a question. I wasn't looking at you going, give me an answer. I need justification.
I know it was rhetorical, but in the entertainment business of radio that we're in, I think, what the heck?
A 6-figure fine, a 5-game suspension, all for using HGH to cure ED.
Yeah, never mind the now end result of the butt of many jokes.
Wrong end of the scale there.
Oh, my God. We have drained down the cesspool of sports.
Right, I don't want to know what you're draining, all right?
All to get Mr. Happy to stand up is...
Somebody help us, please.
See, but this is the thing that gets me, is that, you know, those ads we see on TV for those drugs that cure that?
Yeah.
Allegedly?
Yeah.
Why do you want to call a doctor if you've had one for longer than 4 hours? Why?
I didn't know it was, like, potentially hazardous to your health.
How could that be hazardous to your health?
I don't know.
This is Wade. Start doing the whistling sound.
I figure you're in for 4 hours of...
This is what I'm saying.
We're going to a strip bar.
Well, but, you know, at least on the sidelines this year, maybe last year, you could probably tell when Wade was on HGH.
Well, he was putting up in the press box.
I don't know. Maybe the table rose. I don't know.
Perhaps that's why they didn't let him around the cheerleaders.
Yeah, that's why he's not a head coach.
Because he's raising tables?
Yeah.
Just calling tripod? This segment's gone to hell. I'm going to call for a break. When we come back, bang or blame for college football on OSG Sports. Yes. This show quickly went to hell when OSG Sports Radio Cam Pointer Count rolls on after this. No, we won't.
You can't get out of debt because the credit card companies won't let you. That's right. They just won't let you. They've got a slick system that keeps you in debt until you're old and gray. But now there's a system that destroys debt. It's called the Debt-Free and Prosperous Living System by John Commuta. Call today for a free tape revealing the power of this proven system.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
When you owe people money, they own you. Our system takes all the money you're paying to make the credit card companies rich and redirects it into making you rich.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
You can do the same, guaranteed, no matter how much money you make or how much debt you have. This system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. Call now for your free tape, 1-800-995-5754. For your free tape, call 1-800-995-5754. 1-800-995-5754.
Now, back to Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
B-Block now. Thank you, Blakeney. www.MikeBlakeneyBlakeney.com, boys.
He's a rental to you.
Because he belongs to us.
See, now you're getting the hang of this after 9 months. I've decided...
Wait a minute, you're making that sound like we're pregnant or something.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you're pregnant with feeling. I figured with college football, what we could do for this particular segment, the B-Block, I don't know, this hit me like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's almost like good, bad.
There's nothing that hit me at 2 o'clock or 3:30 in the morning because I was sound asleep.
I was too.
Yeah.
And good, I didn't get back from my ball game last night until almost 2.
Good to know. But I figured instead of talking good or bad, who do we bang on and who do we blame? Let's roll through the games. Michigan and Oregon, do we bang on Mike Bellotti for doing well or do we blame Lloyd Carr and Ron English?
Oh, that's a no-brainer. You blame Lloyd Carr and Ron English. Because that team was, again, not prepared
for a spread offense.
Poor tackling. and they're horrible just, secondary.
They're either, consistent.
They're either A, really not good, or really badly coached. B.
Both.
I'm leaning toward both with really badly coached ahead by a nose.
And
I mean, that is just disgraceful for a Michigan team.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing the look of some of those fans in the stands during that game, it was priceless.
Yeah, it was priceless. Exactly.
So you're saying it's a MasterCard ad waiting to happen?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give them a chance against Notre Dame.
That should be
mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
It should be, but I tend to like Notre
Scoreless
Dame.
Scoreless tie?
Yeah, that might be.
Well, that'd probably be the best case scenario.
Never thought I'd be mentioning them possibly in the same breath as the Buffalo Temple game.
Wow.
Ooh, that's right.
No, actually, no. Duke, Virginia.
Duke, Virginia. Well, I was just plain ugliness.
So, other game, bang or blame, Georgia, South Carolina, bang on the ball, coach, or blame Mark Richt and Mike Bobo?
Well, yeah, I know you're at the game, Phil, but personally for me, I'd be banging on Steve Spurrier simply because I picked South Carolina to win the SEC
of course
East,
he did.
And they made me look good.
So he's banging himself.
Yeah, I think it's more of a blame there, seeing it in person. That game wasn't really so much South Carolina being that good as Georgia just being that bad.
Yeah.
They were not prepared to play that game. They weren't interested in playing that game. And you could tell it on the players' faces when they walked into the stadium. Just watching them in the dog walks, like, yeah. And that's the end result of a 19-year-old thinking that, hey, I just beat Oklahoma State. I'm on top of the world.
I was going to say, do you think it was a result from last week where they had an easier time with an OSU team that was really hyped coming in, and now they believe that hype and they felt like they could win against South Carolina on talent alone?
I think that was a factor, and they got South Carolina the ball coach did a really good job game planning that game.
Trent Dilfer'd him to death.
They slowed the pace of that game down. They controlled the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They were methodical, which is all things that you have to do to play Georgia. You can't get into a track meet with them because they'll win.
Right. Well, I tell you, that's a huge win for South Carolina, and there's been a lot of doubts about how they could compete in the SEC when Spurrier took over. And
I still think that remains to be seen whether they can. They didn't.
But sometimes you got to win games like that to be successful.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Bang or blame, Fresno State, Texas A&M. We bang Pat Hill for a great ball game, and or blame Francione for keeping him in it as long as he did?
I think that's a 50-50 because I think Fresno probably did play a better game than expected. But A&M can't let a Fresno team come in like that in College
Kyle
Station.
Kyle Field,
one of the legendary ballparks in college football, and throw them around like that and take them overtime.
Well,
I mean, that's a game they should have won by two or three touchdowns.
I would pose the question here on this one. Is A&M another Michigan-type team where they're not quite as good as everybody seems to think they are?
See Texas.
Yeah.
I think they got a lot of mileage of that Texas win last year, and they haven't capitalized on it. I mean, they just believe the talk. And remains to be seen. Let's see what happens with the Aggies when they get in the Big 12 season.
Bang or blame. June Jones, Derek Dooley. Who do we?
I like the coaching job Derek Dooley did.
I did too.
I mean, they may not win a lot of games because they got a kind of a tough schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But to take Hawaii to the max like that, a team that really kind of is more talented than La Tech is, and to have a chance to win it in overtime, I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think the fact that he went for two and failed, I don't look at that as a bad thing. I look at that as being aggressive and trying to make something at where there may not have been anything.
Dude was a 27-point dog, and he just rolled the dice.
Right. And, you know, the La Tech team isn't that talented this year, so he's really getting a lot out of his players this year already, second game of the season. And I'm sure he got those kids really motivated for the Warriors. I mean, that is the team in the WAC, and it helped, too, that they played in Ruston. But I got to bang Colt Brennan because he got in a tight situation on the road, and his team came through. So,
bang or blame, Chris Peterson, Tyrone Willingham, Boise and Washington.
Hmm. I think, again, you're looking at a team that might not be as good as everybody thought they were in terms of Boise, and I think Washington may be a little bit better than we give them credit for.
Yeah, I thought Washington looked real good against Syracuse. I love that quarterback.
Anybody looks good against Syracuse.
True, but they backed that up with a home win at Husky Stadium over a Boise State team that has been streaking. Yeah. I think I give all the credit to Tyrone Willingham here. So we'll bang him.
Okay.
I don't necessarily want to blame Chris Peterson because you knew he's inevitable. They're going to lose. And they go into a Pac-10 setting.
Yeah.
It kind of knew it was inevitable.
Just because Ty Willingham wasn't successful at Notre Dame doesn't mean he's not a good football coach.
Right.
30 seconds left. Any others that stick in your head?
I'm going to blame Bobby Johnson of Vanderbilt for not getting that team.
Not Tommy Tuberville?
Not, well, okay. There you go. Two SEC coaches right there. Because Vanderbilt had a good opportunity to make a statement with Alabama coming into Nashville, and they couldn't get the job done. And, I'm not sure if I want to blame Tom Tuberville as to
Bang Levitt,
because he had a field goal kicker that couldn't kick.
1 for 5.
Yeah, he still got the job done.
And that was probably more even of a game matchup-wise than a lot of people think, too.
Yeah, I agree.
And it just kind of played out the way that he did. You couldn't make up for the field goal kicker, like you said.
Mm-hmm. But they got the job done, and they got a big win on the Alabama Plains.
That's it for the B Block. Coming up next, the C, the NFL preview with Corey Ray and Bob Fasella.
Good to see that you got Bob Fasella on.
And we jumped in, and he decided to hang out with us, and it took him all about 45 seconds to fit in.
Yeah, shook a little rust off, and there he goes.
Yeah, and that's it for the B. Come back with the C. OSG Sports Radio Camp Pointer Count rolls on after this.
You know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right, the secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read just one? Hi, I'm Jeff Flam, founder of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your entire family. Kids do better in school, teens can score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo of IQ is only available for a limited time, so call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-771-8424. That's 1-800-771-8424. 1-800-771-8424.
Stop multitasking. Count Pointer Count is back on the air.
Welcome back. Second half hour. Count Pointer Count here on OSG Sports Radio. And after a long and curtailed absence, he's off the side of the milk carton. Welcome back, brother Corey Ray.
Yeah, I've been tracking down Kenny Irons, and he's got a torn ACL, so I'm still in shredding water trying to find him.
Of course you are. Now, also, the way that things work, we just find friends of the show everywhere, and it's amazing where we find them. Bob Fasella, Comcast Sports Southeast, welcome aboard, my friend.
Thanks a lot, John. Yeah, I'm just happened to be wandering in the neighborhood. Thought I'd stop by. Thanks, appreciate it.
Nice orange vest that glows in the dark that you are wearing as you're jogging by.
Yeah, I haven't been hit yet.
Hey, careful. All right, now NFL. We've decided to go with the topic for this particular segment. We can't run any interviews because the NFL would run afoul of us if we ran more than 45 seconds for a day at a time. And since the show runs for 6 or 7 days out of the week, then, you know, the Shield would come after us rather quickly.
Got to play by their rules.
Yes, or, you know, just choose not to. So, Corey, we already know who – we're going to go backwards here. We already know who the man wants to have in the Super Bowl. You just want to go ahead and explain yourself? Do you want to give full disclosure, or do you just want to say who?
No, I just want to say the Saints. I mean, because I've kind of been a fan for 41 years, and they haven't done anything except for last year.
I asked for full disclosure. You tell me no, and then you give me full disclosure anyway. What's the matter with you?
I'm not a lawyer. My brother is.
Okay. So who are they going to play, and who are they going to beat, I guess, since we're working backwards?
Well, it looks like a preview right now against the Colts tonight, since we're recording this on Thursday night. But I think Saints against San Diego and I know we're going to get to this later, but I already know my MVP. He plays for the Saints. Let me pass it on, though, before you start and interrupt me.
What a surprise.
Let's pass it on to the real experience here, Bob Fasella.
Yeah, now, he says it's going to be New England and New Orleans, so you'll have a non-Super Bowl, N-O-N-E. Working backwards, How would you see things working out here?
I'll tell you what. In the NFC, there's not but one or two really strong teams, the Saints being one of them.
Very well done, Bob.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You owe me. But, you know, St. Louis Rams could surprise a few people, too. Steven Jackson might be the best running back in the NFL this side of LaDainian Tomlinson. So, got to like the Saints, though. And in the AFC, how do you not like the Colts? Seriously.
Chargers.
Because they won it last year.
So they can win it again, can't they?
Yeah, but
won't happen, Bob. Won't happen. Not this year. It's not the Colts year.
In the history of the Super Bowl, though, only 8 teams have ever repeated, and 12 times in the history of the Super Bowl years, teams haven't made the playoffs the year after they won the Super Bowl.
John, did you say 8 teams have repeated? Only 8?
Only 8.
And there's only been, what, 42 Super Bowls?
What are we on?
That's pretty good.
20%?
I like 20%.
That's the Mendoza line.
This is football, though. The Mendoza line isn't bad.
I'm mixing my metaphors. I'm allowed to do that.
It's your show.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Yeah.
You can be wrong.
So? It wouldn't be the first time.
No, it wouldn't.
He's seen it. All right, go backwards now. All right, you've got your Super Bowl picks. Who do they beat in the championship games?
Boy, well, I like the Saints and Bears to match up if Rex Grossman can stay away from imploding. In the AFC, I like the Chargers. Best running back, and Philip Rivers proved that he can handle himself.
Okay, now Corey, now that he's belched and decided to stifle it, go backwards with me.
I mean, I like the Saints and the Bears in the championship game NFC, and I don't know. I mean,
actually, he doesn't care.
I don't care. I really don't care. I think you're right. I don't care. I don't care who's in any of the games except for the Saints in the Super Bowl in Phoenix with the Saints winning it all.
Could he be a larger homer?
Yeah, well, who cares? You're allowed to be a homer.
He wears it.
This
well.
Is radio. This is internet sports radio.
It's just sports radio.
Sports radio. We're
Stop
allowed to
time
do
typecasting.
We're allowed to be homers.
Yes. Well, no, you are. I have to be the journalist among the three of us, unless Bob wants to take over.
No, we'll say Bob's the journalist as well.
Okay. So then, give me division winners. Go ahead and fight. Fight over the microphone, and who's going to be division winners?
Saints.
Duh.
Colts.
Oh, gee, there's a shocker. Bears.
Bears.
You keep going, yeah.
Okay. Let me think about this for a second. Bob, you give your picks, and then I'm going to give my last one.
The Central? Any Centrals?
I don't have a favorite of the Central. Nah, I don't know.
Baltimore? Cincinnati?
Yeah, I like the Ravens.
He doesn't care.
NFC East, you got to like the Patriots, man. They look strong. If the Colts don't win the East or the AFC, I think it's the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Out West, Chargers. Boy.
He's got that right.
Yeah.
Well, flipping over to the NFC for a second, I think the Cowboys are going to have a pretty good season. I think Wade Phillips is an underrated coach, and I think Bill Parcells will be exposed for the fake that he has been the last few years. He had better talent than what he proved.
Yeah.
Big fat tuna.
And I've got
my lawyer sitting here.
So then,
say anything wrong? No.
So then, all right, can Norv Turner be a good head coach finally?
No. Why now? I think they have enough talent though that they're going to be survive Norv Turner.
7 new head coaches in the NFL this year. 2 who are retreads and 5 actual new people. I mean, you got what? Arizona, Atlanta.
Pittsburgh
with Tomlin. Who am I missing? Norvin Wade Phillips.
Atlanta.
Yeah, Petrino.
Bobby Petrino.
Wouldn't you know? The home of the show, and I can't even remember the guy's name.
Michael Vick?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, 7 is not a new head coach, except for maybe the Virginia Penal League.
That was good writing, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah, that's good. Right there on the script.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay, then give me league MVPs.
League MVPs. Well, how many MVPs have repeated? Is that...
I don't have that Mendoza line number. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't want to, be patting Corey's butt, but yeah, Drew Brees is going to be right there in the hunt.
Okay, really bad mental image.
Come over here. It's internet radio. All right, since I'll pick Peyton Manning. Manning's going to have
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Tomlinson, I have to pick one guy. I'm going to take Manning.
Okay.
All right, I'm taking LT and I'm taking Drew Brees.
Of course you are.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see, rookie of the year.
Calvin Johnson, he's the best receiver in that offense for Detroit. I think he's the man.
How long have you worked in the Atlanta market?
4 years.
Homer.
It's not a homer. Calvin Johnson's a great, great receiver.
In that system.
Rookie of the year.
Mike Furry, Williams, everybody's going to be taking passes away from each other. You think
right.
he's still going to...
Yeah, he'll be fine. I think he's going to catch 65 passes this year. He's going to score 8 to 12 touchdowns.
That's the piece, he's burping.
And he's going to be the rookie of the year. And I also think in the other league, I think Adrian Peterson's going to give it a run for the money.
Okay.
Good pick.
Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch.
I like it.
I'll tell you what,
I think by the middle of the season, Brady Quinn will probably be the starting quarterback at Cleveland.
Yeah,
I think he's going to
be okay. Yeah.
Not rookie of the year, but I think he's going to be okay.
Right.
By the way, I did predict Vince Young as rookie of the year last year.
And
well, of course, you're a
Texas Longhorn.
And what did that get you? And what did that get you, poking the eye with a sharp stick someplace?
It won me the respect of a few people, not many.
And you had to pay him off, obviously?
No, I didn't pay anybody off. I have my lawyer here, you know.
There you go. Biggest flop in the NFL this
Biggest
year.
Flop. Well, that's a good one. Biggest flop. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
They have no quarterback, and this is a team that is going to go from, what, 10 wins last year to five.
A win and
five
a half.
And 11, although Larry Johnson still is a stud.
Yeah, and then you got, what, Brody Croyle and Tyler Thigpen, I think, is your two quarterbacks. Instead of picking up Leftwich, what do? You get Coastal Carolina's Tyler Thigpen.
I don't know. I'm thinking the Dolphins might slide even worse than they were last year.
Yeah?
That's not really saying the biggest, you know. They don't have far to fall, but they're not going to do well.
Do you want to explain the dynamic with Bob Fasella's lawyer here?
He's very well represented. Let's just leave it that way.
Outside of the fact that he jumps out of his shoes for every 2-yard gain that the Houdat get?
Well, he probably just wants to be on the email list of his lawyer because he hadn't been for a while, so he's trying to regain his trust.
Uh-huh. A biggest underrated success. What's going to fly below the radar and be the biggest success this year, you think? Oh, so you passed to Bob like he's got an instant answer.
What? Biggest success.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
That's not like something that everybody else
How about
guess.
This? How about Joey Harrington?
Oh, God.
Joey Harrington is going to lead the Atlanta Falcons to 6 wins. And you know what? With Michael Vick, they'd have 7, so that's not bad. This is not a good team, but I think they can win 6 games. I think the guy's going to be okay.
Did you happen to have a hallucinogen before you came by?
I watched his last preseason game that he played, and I was sour on the guy. I wasn't ready to give him a chance.
Sevens or 13s?
Huh?
Who's last game, 7s or 13s?
13's last game, his last preseason game, he played well. 7. 7 doesn't exist anymore.
Isn't that great?
7. Who's 7? That's the way the NFL works, right?
See, now Corey's brow is furrowed. He's still trying to come up with an answer, I think.
Yeah.
No, or do you have an answer other than burping?
I whispered in his ear.
Burping aloud.
I just want you to know who said about 3 or 4 months ago that Joey Harrington would be the starting quarterback for the Falcons within the first 3 games of the regular season,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't fare too poorly, and they would be a better team because of it, because they're all going to rally around him. I don't care how good Michael Vick was, even if he didn't have the problems that he has, because he was Petrino's guy.
Okay.
And I think he's going to win more than 6 games, actually. I think they're going to be 8-8.
Well, sorry to hear that. I think they're going to be 4-12. That's it for 10cc. Next up is J-Dub and the Pit Stop, where they're racing somewhere this week. Corey Ray, thanks for coming by.
Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
And you get your first punch in the OSG Sports Radio Soup and Sandwich card, Bob Fasella.
Sweet!
And with 6...
How about my lawyer? Does he get one?
Yeah, with 6 you get egg roll, and with 8 appearances you get a large sub combo.
Sweet!
See how we work around?
I'm all over it.
You're all over prediction.
There we go.
Here's my lawyer, Wade.
All right, I want to predict who's going to pay the most child support this year in the NFL.
What you got?
It's a privilege.
Travis Henry.
We got nothing.
Travis Henry's going to pay the most in child support, I guarantee.
Yes, he is. 9-9.
Sean Kemp, Larry Johnson, you name it. That's it. Pit Stop's next. Bye.
Netflix interviews, take 1.
Oh, Netflix is the best because it shows up in my mail.
And then there's no late fees.
Go online and make a list of the movies you want from over 60,000 titles and get your first DVDs in the mail in about 1 business day.
First thing we say when we walk in the door is, did you check the mail? Is there a movie in there?
Keep them as long as you want. No late fees. Return one in a prepaid envelope and Netflix automatically sends you another from your list.
For me, Netflix has been awesome.
Netflix, the DVDs you want.
Buggity, 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 boys! Let's go racing!
My friend Guido, he dreamed to give a real race car a pit stop.
Pit stop?
No pit stop-o. Comprendo?
Okay.
I'm dropping the hammer.
No, you're not.
I tell you what you do. You just take them dang old spark plugs out, and then that little hole, you just put a little oil around there, just like Bobby Hunter said, just like it go boom, boom, just like that.
Hit the pace car! We
it for? Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Welcome back to Count Pointer Count on the World Internet Radio Network and Podomatic.com.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing sun is racing.
Hey, shake and bake, gal. Woo! Shake and bake!
The 400-mile affair, Kevin Harvick could clinch. For the finish of 32nd or better, Little Lee needed a lot of help. Lap 72, Junior driving hard. He and Harvick locked in a battle for ninth. So the 8 car holds them off for the time being. Lap 140, Earnhardt Jr. driving a little too aggressively maybe. Made some contact with Dave Blaney's back bumper. Earnhardt back in 20th and maybe getting frustrated.
What is going on? What the hell? I don't want to drive his car anymore the rest of the year if I can.
Lap 240 now. Junior continuing to run hard. He moves up into second place behind Jeff Gordon, the points leader. Highest position for Little Lee up to this point. But behind the leaders, Ryan Newman spins out, takes Juan Pablo Montoya and Kurt Busch with him. Montoya's 42 car bursts into flames. He'd be okay. Busch, some damage, still in danger of losing his spot. Same time, grass stuck in the grill of Harvick's car, which began to overheat. Lap 258 now. Harvick narrowly avoids more trouble, swerving to avoid Reed Sorensen, who spins out. That was critical for the 29. Lap 337. The leaders come in the pit. Jimmy Johnson, the pole sitter, hanging on to that lead, looking for his second straight win and his second win at Richmond this year. Well, 30 laps to go. Earnhardt driving hard, but Jeff Gordon passes him to move into second place behind Johnson. 7 laps remaining. Junior riding third, and there goes the engine in the 8 car. A blown engine. Earnhardt Jr. would finish 30th. Meanwhile, the 48 car, just like he did in May at Richmond, he crosses that finish line first, using the pole position to catapult himself into victory lane. Jimmy Johnson sweeps the Cup races at Richmond. He's the first to do that since our own Rusty Wallace did so back in 1989. As for Earnhardt Jr., he needed to snap that 51 race winless streak to even have a chance, but for the second time in 3 years, he'll be on the outside looking in.
Just disappointed. Lost another motor tonight, and seems like that's just been a theme of the season for us. The struggle with the new fuel. We had great power. We just can't keep them together when we put them in my car for some reason.
I run good every week.
We just can't finish in races. You know, we're running the top 5 every week. You know, we ain't in the chase. We deserve to be in the chase. And, you know, wish we were for my fans. But we'll give them something to cheer about. We'll race hard. We don't quit. We love racing. That's what we do. So we'll be all right. This is disappointing, man. These dang motors.
So Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s final year driving for DEI before he shifts over to Hendrick Motorsports will end with him out of the chase.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. has had a lot of bad luck. He's had a fast car. After the race was over, he said, you know what? We've been in the top 5 all year long, and we've been flying. But a lot of blown engines have kept him out of this chase for the championship. You know, Tony Stewart didn't make it last year, and after he didn't make it, he came back and won 3 or 4 races. He's had a strong car, Jr. has, all year long, and that wouldn't surprise me if he pops back up and gets a lot of victories before he leaves DEI at the end of the year.
Stay tuned. More Count Pointer Count is coming up on the World Internet Radio Network and Podomatic.com.
Driving like a team and the drive's your dream. Drive!
Folks, I've been informed we'll be in a holding pattern for the next hour.
It's time to play Take on Orbits. Today's players need to alert each of their clients they'll be late for a meeting from midair.
Oh.
Ready? Go.
Done.
Orbitz notifies anyone you're running late automatically.
Introducing Orbitz TLC. You get treated like a VIP only when you book on Orbitz and go.
This is Tommy Palmer with a sports comment for OSG Radio. The coaches' poll is out, and the Georgia Bulldogs tumble to 25th in this week's rankings. Most football coaches will tell you the only poll that matters is the last one. Based on Georgia's performance this past Saturday against South Carolina, this season's final poll might not look any better than it does now. If a major college offense doesn't execute, it really doesn't matter who calls the plays for a team, a head coach or a top offensive assistant. They're going to lose the game. That was the case this past Saturday against the South Carolina Gamecocks and everybody's favorite coach to dislike, Steve Spurrier. Georgia didn't get it done on offense, and it was not the play calling that did them in.
There were drop passes galore at key points in the game. This is a good Carolina team, not a great one, and the last thing the Bulldogs needed was to begin the SEC East schedule with a loss. It gets a lot tougher than Carolina down the road.
For OSG Radio, this is Tommy Palmer.
Stick around. More is coming up on OSG Sports Radio.
The problem with computers? I don't have a computer, and email seems to be the only way people communicate anymore, especially my grandkids. Then I found out that I didn't need a computer to receive emails and photos. All I needed was my regular phone line and the new Presto service with the HP printing mailbox. It's so easy. Take it out of the box, plug it into the phone jack, and presto, you're connected. You don't have to do a thing. Emails and photos from family and friends print out automatically. It's so easy, you have to see it for yourself. Presto will even send you information, absolutely free. Just call 1-800-496-4930. Now you can receive emails and photos from your friends and family without having an expensive, hard-to-use computer. All you need is your regular phone line, so pick up the phone. Call right now for your free information. The number is 1-800-496-4930. 1-800-496-4930. That's 1-800-496-4930.
As they all relax in town before they resume with a bang and a boom. F-Troop!
Welcome to the F-Troop. John Wilkerson here with you. And, of course, we all remember back when App State pulled off the biggest upset in the history of college football.
You make it sound like it's 1958 when it happened.
It happened 2 weeks ago.
Therefore, it's 1958.
Yeah, exactly. Defeating Michigan in the Big House, we had the opportunity to talk to the voice of the Appalachian State Mountaineers, David Jackson. And we talked about that game and what it meant on campus back in Boone.
I am still in awe at what transpired in Ann Arbor, Michigan on Saturday. As Appalachian State goes into the Big House and upsets fifth-ranked Michigan 34-32. And joining me today is David Jackson, the play-by-play voice of the Appalachian State Mountaineers. And, David, I got to ask you, you still come down from that high?
I don't think there'll be any coming down from that for a while. the crazy thing is this is the first week of the season. I don't know what we can do for an encore, but I guess we'll have to try to figure that out over the next few days.
Well, they haven't canceled classes for the week, have they?
Well, I told our chancellor was actually sitting on the plane behind me last night on the way back, and I told him, I said, you know, we don't have class on Monday here on campus because of Labor Day. I said, you know, you ought to send out an email tonight saying that class is canceled on Monday and say, you know, had we lost to Michigan, we'd have class, but since we didn't, then you just go ahead and cancel it. I figured he'd make a lot of friends that way. But
no kidding.
Yeah, it's an amazing atmosphere around here. You know, our town is nestled in the mountains of northwest North Carolina. About 13,000 is the yearly census up here, and it doubles when school's in session here. We've got about 14,000 kids here, and I don't think there's a person within the county limits right now that don't understand the magnitude of what went on, and not only what it means for ASU football, what it means for Appalachian State University, but what it means for this community. And you know, this is an area that's very popular for growing Christmas trees, and right now they're also getting very popular of growing championship football teams, and yesterday was another prime example of that.
Well, let's not forget that App State is the two-time defending football championship subdivision champion. And I want to go back to the start of the game there, David, because I watched the replay this morning from the Big Ten Network. And I'm looking at the App State kids, and they are not in awe of the fact that they are in one of the cathedrals of college football, Michigan Stadium. It's as if they're at Western Carolina or the Citadel. It's just another football game to them. And they went out there and performed like that.
Yeah, it was, and you know, that's one of the beautiful things about this particular team is that you know, we're now 27-4 over the last 3 years of playing, with yesterday being the third year, if you will, and they're used to winning. While Michigan was a daunting opponent, and obviously, you know, all of the talk here beforehand was not centered around necessarily, I don't think anybody would really come out and say it, hey, let's go beat these guys. It's let's go do the things that we know we can do and see where that puts us. And if that puts us in the ball game at the end of the fourth quarter, fantastic. We feel like we're a fourth quarter tested enough team that we may be able to do some things at that stage of the game. But let's go out there and use this opportunity to get better against a fantastic program and be a better team at 3 o'clock on Saturday than we were at 12. And I think that with the grind of our schedule, and our schedule gets progressively more difficult, just like Michigan's does throughout the course of the next several weeks. That was the biggest thing the coaching staff was looking for. We had a lot of new faces in the lineup on Saturday, and it was good to see not only how they performed in their given roles, but how they performed when their backs were against the wall. And I think our coaches will find this tape far more valuable to them in preparing this team for the next, hopefully, 14 games on our schedule than they will going back and showing it to recruits as to the makings of what is one of the most fantastic sports wins ever.
Talk to me about your quarterback, Armani Edwards. I thought this kid performed great in that atmosphere, and he had ice water in his veins, too. Made the big throws when he needed to, made the good runs when he needed to. Tell me about your young quarterback there.
Armani is a guy who's he's a true sophomore. Came here last year as a recruited athlete, and he was probably going to work into the quarterback mix, and then if you probably ranked it at the beginning of the season here, he was easily the third guy on the quarterback depth chart. Well, throughout practice, he'd prove some things here and there, and just started looking more steady, and had a great last scrimmage of the 05, or rather the 06 preseason, and got himself on the depth chart. Actually jumped past Coco Hillary, who redshirted last year, made the switch to wide receiver in spring ball and at the beginning of this year, and now is the wide receiver that had four catches yesterday and some great yards out of the return game. But he was actually ahead of Armani on the quarterback depth chart. Well, our starting quarterback for the 06 season, Trey Elder, who quarterbacked the 05 national championship game, or at least started it for an injured quarterback in Richie Williams. Trey had some shoulder surgery, wasn't quite 100%, had been pushing it a little bit, and we were stale offensively through our first couple weeks last year. Well, in walks this true freshman. They give the keys to the car to a true freshman and say, okay, buddy, go drive it. And this kid is so unassuming, so not understanding as to what's going on around him, he just calmly walked out on the field and delivered 13 straight victories to end last year. And did not change his demeanor. He's that same wide-eyed freshman that can't remember which building's what and what time he's got class and all that fun stuff. But his maturity on the football field was unlike anything you've ever seen out of a kid that young, especially at this level. Well, he took the offseason and got better. He got a lot more accurate with his downfield passing. His arm strength increased. He put on probably about 10, 15 pounds to his frame. And then as to what we saw on Saturday, a much more mature pocket presence for him. In that shotgun, you've got so many things coming after you, and especially with Michigan blitzing as much as they did and sending as many guys at them as they did, his reaction time on his feet and to make that split second difference game-changing decision was phenomenal. Much, much farther along than he ever was last year, and then he's a guy that led us to a national championship. But I think the biggest thing about Armani outside of his physical attributes, his quickness and his ability to make reads and make people miss, is the fact that he's developed a very, very keen, savvy for the game of football from a mental aspect. And I think that's probably his greatest weapon. We saw him dissect that defense yesterday better than any quarterback he has here in a long, long time. And that's saying a lot. This is a program that turns out some pretty good quarterbacks. But Armani's still got two full years left in the black and gold. We're just salivating at that opportunity.
Three touchdowns against Michigan, threw for 227 yards, also rushed for 62 yards. David, let's sit back and listen to your signature call of the last moments of that game. Roll it, J-Dub.
Snaps good, the whole block! Down, the kick!
Oh!
The kick is
oh!
The Mountaineers are going to try to
it's
take it back.
It's
to the Big House!
Johnson
to
the Big House!
20, 15,
wow!
10! The Mountaineers have just beat the Michigan Wolverines! The Mountaineers of Appalachian State have just beaten the Michigan Wolverines in the Big House. Oh, my.
Unbelievable.
It is Appalachian State Nation. We just beat the Wolverines in the Big House. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, David, how much was that was planned and how much was that was, oh, my God, we just beat Michigan.
There was absolutely zero of that planned. I can tell you that there was none of that that was written on a card, believe me. I was a little bit surprised, I guess, going into that last play quite honestly, that they were going to kick the field goal. You know, we had already blocked one, and it was very apparent in pregame warmups that Gensel was struggling from long distances. And that was a pretty good pop, 37 yards for a kid that didn't have a career field goal make prior to Saturday. So it was kind of a tall order in a pressure situation. And Manningham's such a freak athlete. You know, you figure, hey, let's just throw it up and go get it. You know, we've got smaller corners. Why not? But, you know, you could dissect the last probably 5 minutes of that fourth quarter on both sides and play the what-if game until you're blue in the face. But, you know, it was a neat thing. You know, we could see Corey Lynch. We've seen that developing through camp. We know how hard they've worked on special teams and how Corey has got a knack for blocking kicks. He's done it in several big ball games for us over the last couple of years. And when he, I'll never forget it as long as I live, when he came off that block and had a clear shot at the ball and hit it and then had the presence of mind again to pick it up, there was part of me that was thinking, man, just fall down. The clock's expired. Don't fumble it away. Let him take it back in. And then all of a sudden, you know, there he goes. Now, I'll tell you that the guys have given him a ton of grief for getting walked down by the kicker. But he says he said in our press conference today that his legs were both cramping and he had had just about enough. But there was nothing that was going to stop him from running that ball toward the end zone and I guess running up the score on Michigan. I don't know if you can call it that, but a tremendous moment. My color analyst Steve Brown and I have been together for a while doing these games, and you know, we've had a lot of fun over the last couple of years with the two championships. We had a goofy call here a couple of years ago. A different color analyst with me, another former player, Avery Hall. We were playing Furman in our league in 2002. Furman had taken the lead in that particular ball game. It was one of those great back and forth affairs, like so many great rivalry games are. And Furman is our Ohio State to Michigan. So we're at home. Furman scores the go ahead touchdown to go up 1 point with 7.5 seconds to play. I mean, just a crushing defeat. Well, they decide to go for two. And they go for two, and they pass the ball on the two-point conversion, and one of our defensive ends picks off the ball, takes about 15 steps, and laterals to one of our defensive back guys, who then takes it to the house from there. We get the 2 points and win the ball game like that. Well, we were obviously going crazy, and yesterday trumped that. I got a phone call from Avery. He's like, well, I guess that file's going to the bottom of the floor now because this one's a little bit better. Steve Brown is a former quarterback here. He used to hold just about every quarterbacking record at Appalachian before they've been broken since we've moved to the spread, and believe me, we remind him of that constantly. I think that his screaming probably echoed the feeling of a lot of former players. Had a lot of those guys come to the game yesterday and understanding that they helped plant the seeds for what this program has become. But here's a guy who quarterbacked the first ever Appalachian game on television against Western Carolina back in 1979 on a cold turf up here at Kid Brewer Stadium. And he's seen how this program has evolved to the point that we're now, you know, just 30 years later, practically 28, I guess, They're beating Michigan. They're beating the Michigan Wolverines at the Big House. I think that in our players' eyes, in our former players' eyes, they probably have a whole different take than your average fan, your average alum does on what happened.
Dave Jackson, we're out of time. The voice of the Appalachian State Mountaineers, thanks for your time, and good luck the rest of the season.
We appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
That'll do it for the F Troop this week. More to come on Count, Point, and Count. Stay with us.
Have you made the O part of your morning? Or perhaps part of your game? Maybe an afternoon in. Or an hour in the gym. An elegant evening out. Or a vacation somewhere far away. You'll save on thousands of products at Overstock.com, as well as books, business supplies, auctions, and travel. Make the O part of your life. Overstock.com. It's all about the O.
G-Block, the caboose, the end of the show, which means only one thing.
The butt.
You can't fix stupid.
You can't fix stupid.
No, you can't fix stupid.
No, there's just no way to repair it.
Okay, kitchen stink, and we'll start off with, actually, why don't
hit
you...
Hit me with some stupidity, John.
Why
come
don't you,
on.
What about
because
your,
we know it's out there.
What about your volunteers thing?
My volunteers. Oh, yeah. What is it? Seven, if you get caught seven times with marijuana, then they punish you at the University of Tennessee?
Yeah.
So is it seven strikes and you're out?
Seven strikes and you're out.
Well, I've always heard they couldn't count up there. I guess this just kind of proves it.
I mean, guess there's nothing else better than doing Knoxville than get together and smoke some doobies.
Now I'm a paraplegic and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, yeah. Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
There you go. Fixing the AP poll. The Mountaineers.
Right.
That's not really stinkage, but.
Right. They're going to allow 1AA schools now in the AP college football poll.
Because their poll wasn't good enough.
Well, yeah, that's what's really weird about this whole thing. I mean, if you're number one in the 1AA, or I should say the football championship
the
subdivision poll, then does it automatically mean you're number 25 in the bowl subdivision poll? I mean,
it doesn't ours. It means you're 12.
I'm sorry. What am I doing? FCS and FBS.
It's 1AA.
1AA, 1A.
Yeah.
Politically correct. I'm
Please
sorry.
Stop going acronym. Yeah.
But yeah, because people wanted to vote for Appalachian State in the big poll and didn't think they could, and now the AP says, "Oh yeah, you can now."
Unbelievable!
It is Appalachian State Nation. We just beat the Wolverines at the Big House.
Whatever.
Yeah, what was your other one?
That was it.
That was just those two.
Yeah.
Okay. There's something we all know about the Heisman Trophy. Apparently,
you mean the most popular football player?
Yes. We now have Logs Blog has created something called the Lozman Watch.
The who?
Logs Blog. Logan-Logsblog, blogspot.com. I just thought it was funny.
Never heard of it.
It's broadcast in 1080i. I totally don't know what that means, but it won't.
No, it's just another one's blog sites. Yeah, I think you know those intimately. They've created something called the Lozman Watch. Coming up with the worst Division I football player. And after week one, the Lozman would go to Mike Hennig after his performance at LSU.
Is this named after J.P. Lozman?
Close. L-O-W-S-M-A-N. There's a W added.
So who would be after week two?
Chad Henne?
Chad Henne, probably.
My vote would be Sean Glennon.
Or Sean Glennon. Yeah. Oh, even better. I like that.
Or even the Virginia Tech defense.
Yeah. Sean Glennon, definitely. Yeah. That goes back to bang and blame, so I guess we blame Sean Glennon.
Yeah.
Carlos Zambrano got booed.
Oh, poor Carlos.
Come on, buddy. You're making nine figures now.
Please.
I just call the fans, quote, "I want a little support. That's all. When you're struggling or you have a brother who's struggling, you show him love. You don't show him, you want to kick him out. That's what I ask of the fans, a little support."
$90 million buys people the right to do whatever they want to if they don't like. If you're not performing,
so if a guy in the stands making $90,000 doesn't see him perform as well.
Yeah.
So what's he supposed to do?
Sit on his hands. Go buy a bra.
Hooray!
Exactly.
I love you, Carlos!
The day after being cut by the New England Patriots, punter Danny Bauer is alleged to have turned his anger and frustration on his 54-year-old father. Released by the team on August 29th, he was charged with assaulting his dad, Earl, in a fast food parking lot at 4 a.m. on August 30th.
"Hey, fool, you ready for another beating? You should have never came back."
Police said Danny Bauer was drunk at the time and told him he was, quote, "released by the New England Patriots and he was not handling it very well," according to the police report obtained by the Boston Herald.
Just that makes it okay.
Yeah, exactly. Houston Rockets slingman Justin Reed was released from jail after his arrest on a marijuana charge. $500 bond.
So he didn't get the seven strikes rule.
Yeah, if he'd been in Knoxville.
He
had six more opportunities.
True. In a September 2nd obituary for Bill Henry, the Associated Press reported erroneously that he was the former major league pitcher of the same name. The deceased was a Lakeland resident, also known as Bill Henry, who'd been passing himself off for more than 20 years as the player. According to his stepfamily and his pastor, the former pitcher lives in Texas and says he's in good health.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
I'm confused.
Did you hear about what Lee Bowden did at the airport?
No.
Bowden refused to stop his vehicle when initially approached by an officer at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport, charged with misdemeanor, aggravated disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, saying he drove in reverse down a one-way street outside the city's main airport and became verbally abusive.
"You can't fix stupid."
Can't fix stupid.
I was going to say. Police said Bowden indicated he was there to pick someone up and he became verbally abusive with the officer, who called for backup. Bowden was instructed to put his hands on a wall, which he did, but then the situation became tense when the player began to resist. And his attorney advised him not to appear in Cleveland Municipal Court because of the presence of television cameras.
Those darn TV cameras.
Oh, that there was some good TV.
Damn those guys.
A man suspected of robbing a vendor during the Nationals game at RFK Stadium apparently shot himself in the leg by mistake as he ran from security guards.
Okay. He's running away from a security guard. I'm going to shoot myself in the leg.
He robbed a vendor.
Either that or one more, or perhaps he should have kept the safety on?
Yeah, you'd think. He was on the fifth floor of the stadium. Security guards chased the man down stadium ramps, but police say the man got outside before apparently climbing a fence to get into the player's parking area. When guards caught up with the man, police said he had an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound in one leg.
How did he get the gun in the stadium in the first place?
No kidding.
And what did he rob?
It's in Washington, D.C. Probably the most secure place in the country.
The most crime-ridden.
It all depends on where you are.
Where's
there.
RFK?
Purdue. Tippecanoe County Prosecutor's Office filed 6 charges against a Purdue University. Tippecanoe County. Against a Purdue University wide receiver in connection to a March fight in which he himself was stabbed. Selwyn Lyman, 20, charged with counts of operating a vehicle while being intoxicated, battery, disorderly conduct, false informing, and illegal possession of alcohol.
I guess he won't be playing Saturday.
Tippecanoe County prosecutor said...
Unless he played for Tennessee.
Yes.
That's true.
And the charges will not be filed against the woman who stabbed Lyman because police believe she acted in self-defense.
You think there's like some dude in Knoxville with a checklist? Okay, that's number 2.
Mm-hmm.
got five more left.
And is he on Fulmer staff?
Probably.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
You want to get into Jarrell Poe?
Who?
Sure. Kid from Ole Miss?
Yeah. Denied his quest to play at Mississippi for the third time when the NCAA rejected the appeals of the D lineman and the school. The learning disabled, this is wire copy, learning disabled prize recruit has spent more than 2 years seeking permission to start his college career. Granted initial partial eligibility waiver, ruled he could attend Ole Miss but not play football. He's currently enrolled. The NCAA also invalidated all of his coursework over the previous year because they were concerned he received too much help as he attempted to qualify.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
On one hand, I could see them saying, well, he's not up to snuff academically. He wouldn't be in the college if it wasn't for the football. But on the other hand, you want to give an opportunity to somebody who really wants to be successful and try to learn on that level. And how do you tell somebody who's learning disabled not to be there and try to learn?
Right.
Right. Yeah, there's so many gray areas there.
Wire copy. Once again, a pesky mosquito quickly made it a miserable night for the Milwaukee Brewers. Cincinnati scored 6 runs in the first. Griffey hits his 593rd as they breeze to an 11-4 victory. All that happened after a 1-2-3 Milwaukee first in which Gabe Gross doubled and was thrown out trying to steal third as Ryan Braun struck out. Quoting Ned Yost, it all started with a mosquito bite. I was just itching a spot and Nick Leyva, the third base coach, thought I was putting the steal on. I'm not going to steal with Prince Fielder coming up. I should have seen it was a preview of what was going to come. It set the tone for the night. I looked up and saw Gabe coming and thought, what the heck's going on?
Oh, my gosh.
You can't fix stupid.
Too many people are showing up bombed at Winnipeg Blue Bomber games, courtesy of the Canadian press, and the police plan to do something about it. They're getting a lot of complaints about disruptive fans who are either drinking heavily at pregame, drinking on private buses, and arriving 3 sheets to the wind. Police advise that alcohol consumption is against the Liquor Act.
Things that make you go...
The Liquor Act.
The Liquor Act.
The Liquor Act.
You liquor, you broader.
So they're all...
They plan to be out in force for the game.
If they enforce that here in the U.S., there'd be nobody at games.
I know.
Yeah. At the Labor Day game last Monday, the game between Calgary and Edmonton, 4 fans managed to disrobe and run across the field during the game.
Oh, my God, not the cheerleader tryout story again.
Sweet.
Damn CFL. Now, so...
The CNFL.
You got mass quantities of Blue Bomber fans stopping at the beer store in Winnipeg. Consuming and
yes.
Going into the games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a typical day at Athens.
Insert tailgate here.
Yeah, any number of mass universities or, for that matter, pro games.
Yep.
Yeah.
And item last, Patrick Nevada, an Oregon rugby player, remains in jail after being arrested on charges.
Like
he left his 2-year-old daughter in a vehicle in the parking lot of a Nevada brothel on a 95-degree day. Police arrested Lucien Hoffman at the world-famous Mustang Ranch brothel after a security guard found his child crying in the car, according to sheriff's deputies. Hoffman, a wing for Bend Rugby, who goes by the nicknames Luke and Torpedo.
God gave men brains larger than dogs so they wouldn't hump women's legs at cocktail parties.
All of this happening at the world-famous Mustang Ranch, mind you. Had been attending a pool party and a barbecue at the brothel, a co-sponsor of a Labor Day weekend rugby tournament in Reno organized by the Reno Zephyrs Rugby Club.
What happens in Reno
stays in Reno.
Or what happens in the Mustang Ranch stays at the Mustang Ranch. Club's president, Matt Burke, quote, "We won the tournament, so I think half of the people in the club got in their cars and started driving home, and a few went to the after-tournament function to receive their trophy."
Or their prize.
Or
yes.
Prize.
A little pop-up there. And so what they called, since the Mustang Ranch was sponsoring the tournament, they called it the biggest little rugby tournament in the world.
Wow.
Great.
Nice. What a way to cap off the stink.
Brilliant!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it for the show. Any other words before we bail here?
Let's go home.
Okay.
I think I've had enough for now.
Blakeney, take us home.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, the World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.OnlineSportsGuys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.